Good morning, everyone. Again, it's such a privilege and an honor to be up here. And I always say, right, by the grace of God, that I'm up here. And I just, again, it's an amazing opportunity to share the word with you this morning. Not sure if any of you have noticed, but I've noticed something kind of the last little while, maybe in some of your professions, is this idea of these personality trait tests. How many of you have taken one of those? Okay. Hopefully you didn't fail. What did it say at the end? You don't have a personality, as I always said. So I've noticed that as well, that we've often in the last little while, we take all these personality trait tests, and, you know, what's your personality like? What, you know, what are you good at? What is all these sort of things? And there's multiple ones out there, and maybe you guys have taken a few different ones, and maybe they've lined up, or maybe they've been different. But what I thought was kind of funny is I've taken a few of them, and one of the categories that the test that I had, it defined me as the ability to woo. So, this morning, I am going to woo you. But it kind of said, it was kind of funny, I was laughing because it says, you try to win people over. You enjoy the challenge of getting to know new people. Strangers are really not intimidating to you. Some people shy away from this, but you love starting up conversations, and you never worry about running out of things to say. So those that know me quite well, yes, like I always often joke, I could talk to a leaf. And so I found it so kind of so funny that there was some of these things that I found in these tests that, yeah, they kind of did match a bit of my personality. But this morning, we're going to take a look at a piece of scripture that doesn't necessarily have to do with your personality. And I think sometimes what's happened is because we've gone into these personality things and personality this, personality that, well, what am I? We apply it to the Word of God. And we say, you know what? My personality trait, that means that, you know what? My spiritual gift is the same thing. But like I said, it's a gift. And we're going to open that up this morning and see how there is a difference. God has a different way of looking at these things than maybe we've seen through our culture and the personality traits. So this morning, that's what we're going to take a look at. I found it so cool. I was just standing up there, and often people who know me, I always have this kind of sheepish little grin on my face. And this morning I had one because my first point is this. Love is our foundation and platform. The exact word that Russ used when he got up here talking about love. And it just, again, I couldn't help but just have a grin in my face that God is obviously speaking this morning and connecting these pieces together. So love is our foundation and our platform. So let's take a look first off at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Most of us already, when we just hear that, we can picture or just remember some of those things that are coming to our minds about the specifics of this chapter. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all away, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. How eloquent or angelic we could be with our voice, with our tongue. I'm not going to try, I referenced this a few times, but the gifts of the Spirit and other things, right? We could be so angelic. But without love, it's painful to our ears. Think of me standing beside you with a giant gong. The school has one, and I was debating bringing it out. But think, if I held that big, huge gong in front of your ear and hit it as hard as I can, that's not the most pleasant thing you're going to experience. So Paul is saying that if we don't have love, right, the words that we speak, they are They're hurtful to our ears, painful. Or if I could move, here we go. I did this one for my Duncan people. If I could move Mount Zuhalem. All you Nanaimo people are like, what, Zuhalem? Us Duncan people are like, yes, Mount Zuhalem. Mount Zuhalem is basically like our Mount Benson from the Couchin Valley. Some of the people have been in the Couchin Valley. It has a cross on the top of it, maybe if you've driven through Duncan. If I could move Mount Zuhalem, right? But I don't have love, that lacks value. It becomes valueless if I don't have love. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Wow. Often, maybe you've you've had this experience where people say, why don't you put your name in there? Nathan bears all things, or, you know, put your own name. And it really starts to kind of resonate with you, like, oh man, I often don't do that. But we see that love is action. It acts. Love has, I tried to think of some different words that we could put in there. Love has no short fuse. It can tolerate shortcomings because we know we have them as well. It's not a windbag. It doesn't just throw words out. It goes the second mile, gives others the benefit of the doubt. Love never gives up on people. Love, as kind of like a military term, love holds its position at all costs. That's what Paul is saying there. So again, I hope you're seeing this foundation that I'm trying to lay before we get into the gifts. Moving on. As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been known fully. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Brothers and sisters, love is eternal. When we stand before the Father, love is going to be there in abundance. The gifts are for today, but they will fade away when we're in the immediate presence of God in heaven. Verse 11 talks about Paul did not want to be governed by his childish ways. He didn't want to overstress the gifts and undervalue love. So in 1 Corinthians 13, we see the supremacy of love, that no matter what gifts, as we're going to go through them this morning, tongues, healing, prophecy. I had to throw that in. Mark's going to do tongues next week. He's kind of like, what? Don't steal my thunder. Healing, prophecy, whatever it is, we need to remember the foundation is love. The platform is love. These gifts come through that. My second point this morning is God is a giver of diverse gifts. When I was digging into it a little bit more, and I sat in on Tuesday night on the Bible school, it was just amazing again how some of the similar points just kept coming up over and over again. And what I found super interesting was that the word in the Greek, charisma, when they used it in a sentence, it wasn't referring to charm or to personality. For them, charisma literally meant grace gift. In other words, it described a gift someone gave you because they had found undeserved favor in their eyes. So now we're seeing again, I'm trying to distinguish and separate the difference between how the world sees these personality things, right? It's a gift. And we're going to go through some of these things this morning. If you can turn to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We got it. I was going to blame Google. Our school uses Google, and sometimes it doesn't. We have Microsoft in the back there, and sometimes it didn't work. So I'm going to blame Google because we had all these crazy things up there. But thanks, Bernie. She's trying to sort it out back there. So, great. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. In this opening, we see Paul is stating that the Corinthians obviously needed some help. They needed some clarification. Were they confused about how these spiritual gifts should look within a service? There was obviously some confusion. He starts it right away. Paul wants to make sure that we, even now, are also on the same page. Is there some confusion? He's saying to us, let's work through these things. Paul wanted to clarify what the purpose of the spiritual gifts in a service was and how to utilize them as church members. Let's not have our own way of thinking. Let's go and let's see what the scripture says. Verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. God has given a variety of gifts in multiple ways, in multiple activities, in multiple situations, in multiple services. Activities can be maybe closer translated to outcome. God has a purpose for the outcome when we use these gifts. He's got a purpose for these things, right? Can we often maybe get focused on that? Our own outcome or our own will when God is using us? Do we maybe need to sometimes eat a little piece of humble pie and just say, oh, God, it's your way. You have this outcome, and I want you to do what you want to do through these gifts. Because church, when we plug into these gifts that God has given to us, and it comes out into the body, it's powerful. There's powerful results. When we allow God to use these gifts through us. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It was highlighted again this morning in the prayer meeting. Notice that it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, not to someone. It's not just this person, right? Manifestation means action, again, event, something clearly shown. There's something clearly shown when the Spirit is manifesting. We need the Spirit to flow through us. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit flowing through us, it's for the common good. We don't put it, I was thinking of, right, this little light of mine, that song. Right? We don't put this light, the thing that God's doing in our life, we don't hide it, right? We don't put it under, you know, a blanket or hide this light that God is shining through us, right? God wants us to use these gifts. Each of us is given a spiritual gift. We need to let it out. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So now we're going to see again, Paul is breaking down some of the different gifts that the Spirit has graciously given to us. I'm going to simply break down some of the ways and some tie it into some scripture where we see these worked out or lived out. First off, the gift of wisdom through the Holy Spirit is simply a divine answer or solution for a particular question or challenge. We see this in Matthew 17, 27. Peter is debating, right, this. What happens is this idea of taxes comes up, right? And what does Jesus do? There's a fish, okay? Fish comes, and he just says, well, who's on the coin? Says, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's, right? Pay to God what is God, what is God's. So again, we see this wisdom come through. Word of knowledge is allowing you to know through the Spirit something specific that you didn't learn by natural means. A supernatural transfer of information you couldn't possibly know. Think of Jesus at the well with the woman. What does he say? Where's your husband? Well, I don't have a husband. That's right, he says. You've had five, and the one you're with isn't your husband. But isn't it awesome and amazing how does that lead to her destruction, her depression, her sadness, anything like that? No. What does it do? It brings her up. It encourages her. It heals her. And if you read further into that story, what happens is her testimony brings the people of the city to Jesus. So again, this gift, what an amazing, when we see it in Scripture worked out, how amazing that was. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Faith, complete trust and confidence for a specific situation. Those that do not waver when times are difficult. I was thinking of this story, there's a few, but in Mark. Remember when the disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee in the boat and there's this huge storm. These guys weren't, I would use the word like kind of a green thumb like me. They were fishermen. They had been in a boat all their life. They knew what storms were like. You would think, oh yeah, no, it's just another storm. But what happens? They freak out, right? What is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. He knew. He had so much trust in his Father that he knew that they were going to be okay. Such faith we see in that story. Another one I was thinking of was in Acts 9 with Ananias when the Lord speaks to him and he says, you got to find this guy named Saul. Do you remember what Saul was doing at that particular point? He was killing Christians. And God just asked you or I, said, you need to go to that person that is killing people within your congregation. Right? What amazing faith that was that he stepped out and he actually went to find Saul and look at that amazing story that happens through that. What amazing faith we see in that story. Next, healings. Do you notice that a few of these are plural? I didn't really, when I read through this, you know, that stood out to me. Healings, supernatural intervention for healing, apart from medical treatments. Right? The Lord may use particular people consistently in the area of healing. Again, I want to remind us that it's the Spirit, right? It's the Spirit that gives these gifts. They're gifts. It's not the person, right? And sometimes I think, right, well, I'll go to this healing person, right? But that's not what it is. It's God acting through that person, the gift, through that person. Verse 10 says, to another, the working of miracles. Again, plural. At first, when I read this, I was like, why are these two separated? I couldn't think of the reasons why, but then kind of digging a bit deeper. Miracles, divine intervention that alters circumstances. An example we could think of is, excuse me, Peter walking on the water. That's pretty much altering circumstances, altering something that normally, right, we would sink. But again, that story just shows these miracles that God used, the gift that God uses people. Moving on in the scripture, to another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. When the Bible speaks of a word of prophecy, it simply means a message of encouragement from God delivered through human vessels to a person or persons. Let's remember that prophecy needs to encourage, not discourage, not rebuke or judgment. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul addresses this. He talks about how it edifies, it lifts up this piece of encouragement. Simply just want to say, obviously, tongues is a gift, a spiritual gift. And you just simply need to know that that's why I can hook you for Mark's sermon next week. He's going to talk about that much more in depth. So I just want you to know, it's a spiritual gift. Moving on. That was it. That's my plug. Next, distinguishing between spirits. This one often, we need to make sure we read it carefully. Distinguishing between spirits simply means that the Holy Spirit making a believer aware of the presence of a demonic spirit. This gift is called discerning of spirits, not the gift of discernment. That was something going through the commentaries, reading through the books, that stood out to me. Because I often thought, oh yeah, you have the gift of discernment. But see how Paul worded it. Discerning of spirits, not the gift of discernment. There's a difference. We see this in Acts 16. When there's with Paul and a slave girl, and she has the ability through a demonic spirit to kind of tell the future. And that may be an interesting story because we think, well, right, she was kind of doing some good things. But what it was coming from a demonic spirit. It wasn't coming from a godly place, right? And so what God does is through Paul, right, he casts that out. So it gives Paul the ability to see, to distinguish spirits. Point number three. We need every body part to function as it was designed to. I love the piece of this scripture where Paul ties it into the body. And at the Bible school, Mark used kind of this idea of like a chessboard. And right, chess pieces have these particular functions, right? One can go diagonal or one forward or one back. And I thought, you know what, Mark? Chess, who plays chess anymore? I gotta go back to, you know what, 2016. So I don't know, like maybe some of you, I remember, it's probably totally changed now, but I remember this game called, right, the World of Warcraft. Oh yeah. Okay? And what it was is I know they probably have like World of Warcraft like 2016 now, that's way better. But I remember like the 94 edition where, right, you had these particular characters that could only do certain things. So you had these guys that could throw spears, or you had a guy that was a knight that rode around on a horse, or there was this character that built houses or collected this ore that you needed to build this kingdom or whatever, right? So in that game, right, there was people had certain abilities. And we're going to see Paul talks about this in the reference of the body. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31. Verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one spirit. Paul's cry in the opening is that we are one. He lays it out. It does not matter where we come from. Christ has unified us. And we need to function as one. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? As I look out, as maybe you look to the people beside you, right? Do we all look the same? No. Are we seeing Paul's heart behind this piece of scripture? And when he puts it into the context of the body, doesn't it seem ludicrous or foolish that we wouldn't need a hand or we wouldn't need a foot? We need each part. Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chooses. If we are all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, see, here we go again. We didn't get it the first time, so he's explaining it again. If the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the hand, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker or indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts don't require. I was thinking of the body and different things, and hopefully, please, the doctor, I know we have lots of doctors and nurses here, please shout out if I'm totally way off, that's totally, totally good. But Paul's not a doctor, so I can ignore that. I was thinking of the knee, right? And I thought of the ACL, okay? Anterior cruciate ligament. How many of you often think about your ACL on a daily basis? Okay. If you've had knee problems or you've had surgery, right? That's maybe a conscious thing. But for most of us, we kind of just go through our day. It's about 40 millimeters long, 10 millimeters wide. It's not very big. Okay. But what it does is prevents the forward movement of the tibia off of the femur, as well as making sure your knee doesn't hyperextend. Okay? Kind of important. It allows this dynamic movement. Okay? I'm not going to demonstrate it any more than that. But if the ACL is injured or torn, let's go to the extreme. It's torn. These dynamic movements that I'm doing, it's torn. You need surgery and several months of rehabilitation to make that right again. The body is so very detailed and intricate that there's nothing that God didn't design for a particular purpose or function. Nothing was an accident. Think in the context of these gifts, the body. Let's continue with their scripture. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division, I'm in verse 25, there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all together suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Church, let's honor diversity and uniqueness. Right? We're not all the same. Let's make that, again, a priority. Anytime a member of the body of Christ ceases to function, the cause of Christ is hurt because something vital is absent.
Very good. Very good.
Let that soak in this morning. You are vital. You are a member of this body. You're a member of the body of Christ. And if you cease to function in the gift that God has given to you, something vital is absent. Something important isn't there. Something we need is missing. That's why I love this analogy of the body, because it's so, I think that's something so tangible for us. When we're hurt or we're injured, we notice it right away. Especially us men, the man cold is the worst thing ever. It's so beyond any other cold that's out there. But we notice it. Okay? But church, I want to stress that this morning, right? The gift God has given you is vital to this body, vital to the body of Christ. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. He goes on to say, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. I just want to briefly mention it without kind of pulling away from the main point. Go to Ephesians 4 in your own time, not right now, if you want more explanation on where Paul is talking about first there's apostles, first there's this. Okay? There's a difference there between that and spiritual gifts. Here we kind of see the person. Maybe the person is the gift. Okay? I don't want to get into that too much, but I just wanted to briefly mention it. So Ephesians 4 talks about that in more depth. But what we're seeing here is Paul emphasizing, once again, diversity. But he pulls out some other spiritual gifts in there, kind of throws them in there. The gift of administration is a spiritual gift. Someone who guides and directs a group of people toward a goal or destination for the sake of the kingdom. To steer us towards Christ's will for the body. We see that in Acts chapter 6, where they put deacons in place. The gift of administrating these things. Another one that comes up is helping. A supernatural ability to see what needs to be done before being asked and joyfully getting the job done. I know, Megan will shake. I don't necessarily do that very well. I don't see things at home and be like, the laundry needs to be done. Okay? But Megan can say, if she says, Nathan, this needs to be done, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'll get the task done. But I necessarily don't see it. But I know you can think of people in this congregation that just see a need and they do it. Right? How amazing a gift that is. So now with all the things that I've thrown at you guys this morning, in my kind of conclusion, what I want you guys to take away from this is that we need to be connected to Christ for these spiritual gifts to live, to work through us, for the Spirit to work through us. John 15 says, and I took it out of the Message, "Live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me, I am with you. The relationship is intimate and organic, and the harvest is sure to be abundant." We must have these gifts tied into Christ. If we're not abiding in the vine, if we're not spending time with God, these gifts aren't going to be what God intends them to be. We must also tie these into Galatians chapter 5. The gifts of the Spirit, these two, work in unison with each other. So we need to be connected with Christ, to Christ. There needs to be a difference between the Holy Spirit's power available to us or making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit's life-changing power. There's a difference there. Are we allowing God to use us, his amazing power and authority through our lives? Second point that I really want you guys to take away is spiritual gifts are a gift from God. If you earn what you receive in any way, it's not a gift. Instead, it would be a payment or a compensation. By definition, a gift is an act of grace. God gives gifts because he loves unconditionally. Are you using that gift to build others up and to advance the kingdom? Remember, you are vital. You're important. Maybe you have a question of, well, Nate, how do I recognize that I'm working in my spiritual gift? Or how do I see it in my life? Maybe some things to consider would be get involved. Get involved. You'll notice very quickly. Other people will notice it. You'll notice it. You'll say, wow, this is easy. I love doing this. The gift will come through. A great example, they use it at the Bible school as well. It says, good spiritual fruit will remain in your wake. I love that. I was just thinking, and then it reminded me of the summer with the pouring rain. But a boat, when you're on the lake or in the ocean, it has a wake. It has a ripple effect. The gift should be like that in your life. Are you energized when you're doing these activities, these things? Does it feel natural or easy? And the last question that you may be asking is, well, Nate, like, how do I know I'm feeling this, but I'm not sure if it's my gift or God's telling me something? That's what's so amazing about being a part of a body and having leaders. Take baby steps. Step out. Share with your leaders, right? Hey, I'm feeling this. You know, is this something that is for the church service? Is this, I feel like I have something to say to this particular person, right? That's why we have leadership. And I know in my journey, that was so amazing to know that I had leaders that were there for me. And I would go to them and say, hey, I'm really feeling this. And they would say, yeah, we think that's for this time and this place. Or it'd be like, you know what, Nate, let's pray on that. We'll pray on it. And let's bring it up again. But step out. Take that step in faith. So what I want to, again, the last to land this plane. Love is our foundation and our platform. God is a giver of diverse gifts. We need every body part to function as it was designed to. So the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to operate in the here and now.
Wonder if we can have the worship team up on the stage. Thanks, Nate. That was an amazing message.
Thank you, Lord. Just kind of come out of an amazing time with our Sunday school. And I just want to thank every Sunday school teacher and volunteer that is working with our children, using their gifts. And I was just thinking about this and the story of Moses, because I can really relate to him. I got saved at 24, and when I was about 26, 27, I was asked to do my first preach. I was so nervous. We had a plexiglass pulpit, big crowd, and I got up there and I started to shake. I shook so much that the whole podium was going like this. I want to tell you, I walked off there and I went to the front. I gave the microphone to the lead guy and said, I can't do this. I've never felt shame like that in my life. And I said to God, I'd never, ever do it again. But thank God he never gives up on us. And through the mentorship of this amazing man, and God opened a way. And I want to tell you what it says about Moses. So don't look at what you are now or who you are now in the flesh. God will use anybody who opens his hand and says, God, use me for the extension of your kingdom. Because Corinthians says, I choose the foolish to confound the wise so that I will get the glory. And God wants to gift us. The thing about gifts, Jesus says this, use it or lose it. He says, if you're faithful with a little, I'll give you more. And as you're faithful with that little gift, so God adds and God adds and God adds. It's like the talents. He took the talents from the one and he gave it to another, for his kingdom will advance. And he has called us and he has chosen us and he has chosen you for the extension of the kingdom. And church, I want to see this city turned upside down for by the power of God. And it's going to take every single one of us trusting God and stepping out of our boats and say, God, use me. I could never have imagined at that age that I have been over the world preaching the gospel. I'll be in Australia for 6 weeks and I'll do 20 to 25 meetings. And every time I ask God, why me? Why me? I want to tell you, I never ask. Deborah and I never ask. We never promote ourselves. We never ask to go anywhere. But God opens so many doors when we are faithful with the little. And he gives us more, church. And this is a time for the church to arise, each one carrying his part of the load. Each one. And I tell you, the gifts aren't just for operation on a Sunday morning. The gifts are for out there, that people will know, that people love them. And Moses, God calls Moses. And Moses answers this. What if they do not believe me or listen to me? Lord, the Lord did not appear to you. And the Lord says, what is it you have in your hand? Some of you have heard this before, but I feel like this. And Moses says, I've got a stick. And he says, throw that on the ground. It becomes a snake. He picks it up again. He says, with that stick, you will deliver a nation. And he says, but Lord, I'm a stammering man, all right? I read this here. This is what it. But Lord, Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow in speech and tongue. And God says, Moses, you are my chosen vessel. Every person called by God is a chosen vessel because you will reach people I will never reach. In the midst of your trials and tribulations, there are others there that need to know that God loves them. And God has a plan for their lives. And I ask you to open your hands today. The gifting that God has given. How do you know your gift? Because it's easy. My wife has an incredible gift of hospitality that I don't have. And she uses that to bless people. And she always says, well, what do I do? I said, because it's easy. Just begin to flow in the gifts that you have on a daily basis in the church. I want to see the city transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the power of God. But God uses people, and He always has. So as we sing these songs, I ask you to open your hands right now, if you just bow your heads. And don't do it just because I ask you. But if you open your hands, God, I can mow a lawn. God, I can fix a car. I can do something so that my neighbor will know that I love them. So that all people that need help will know. They will know we are Christians by our love, church. So if you'll open your hands, I'm going to ask, if you say, God, fill me afresh, I'm going to ask you to receive from God this moment. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you will use a stick. You'll use the foolish. You'll use us, Lord God, but we have got to be willing. We ask God for more of Him, and God says, no, I need more of you. We ask God for more of His Spirit. He cannot give us any more, but how much place in our hearts and our lives is there for the Spirit of God? God is weeping over the world, and we're His children. We are the chosen ones, filled with the power of God, the foolish ones. The ones of no names. And I ask God, even now, Holy Spirit, I pray for you come in power. I pray to fill us afresh. Give us a passion for the lost. Give us a passion, Lord God, to be used as foolish people, Lord God, for the extension of your kingdom, Lord God. We say you love you. We say we love you, but will we do your bidding today, Lord God? Will we break those chains? Lord God, will we allow you to set us free from our own fear, from our own doubts, Lord God? I want to be a fool for you, Lord God, so that you can receive the glory, Lord. We love you, Lord. If we're going to sing this song, let's sing it from the bottom of our hearts. We cannot get enough of you, Lord God. Break in upon us, I pray, by the power of your Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.